Chicago area for years. The deputies had gone through there five or six times in 1987, and there had been no problems. They hadn't issued any citations. It was only when the homeless activism became more intense downtown that eager camper busters, perhaps one-time troll busters, and there are officers like this in the Santa Cruz Police Force, who enjoy hassling people at campsites and feel it's part of their public duty to tromp out of the way, through the bushes, find people who are sleeping there, and ticket them or arrest them. It was only after the homeless activism became intense that these campsites and the Paso Tiempo property were busted. The Santa Cruz Sentinel was called in to take pictures and to tell about tons of trash. And after that, the campers themselves organized a cleanup and did a major cleanup on the campsite, which was finished by the property owners themselves and by the to some extent with some help, I think, from the city and the county. So I think that you've got to be wary of stereotypes in this. I mean, be wary of stereotypes and be wary of people who are presenting the issue in a fashion that's designed to appeal to your prejudices. You know, these people want to sleep all over town. They want to sleep wherever they want. Nobody really wants to sleep downtown on the sidewalk, particularly on a rainy night or even on a non-rainy night. There's a lack of privacy there. But when you reach the point where the entire city becomes off limits, then maybe you don't give a damn where you sleep at a certain point. Maybe you reach the point where you do sleep there, although frankly I haven't seen too many people sleeping downtown.
Except during demonstrations.
Occasionally during demonstrations you find people sleeping in.
Go ahead. Well, I was just saying that I really feel that all the misconceptions about the homeless people really, they hinder helping them whatsoever. You know, I know working at the table, I get a lot of, well, you know, if they really wanted to work, they could go find a job. And it's like, I was talking to Gray Bear, for instance, and he's saying, well, how am I supposed to get a job? I was sleeping on the streets where the people, the owners of the mall see me, so they're probably not going to be likely to hire me. If you're not getting any sleep, you can't conduct a coherent conversation for a possible job. If you're not clean, somebody's not going to hire you. You know, all those things come into play. And no phone number. And it's not a matter of, you know, these people wanting to be poor because they want to be poor. I think it's very important to keep in mind that there are homeless people and they are victim of the system. And I think that that's a very important thing to keep in mind, because I know when I work at the table, like I said, a lot of people really think, well, they can go find a job if they really want it, and they're that way because they want to be that way, which is not true at all.
Can you tell about your table on campus and where it is?
We have a table on campus, and it's Monday through Friday, and it's out for about somewhere between about 3 to 4 hours Monday through Friday, and it's located right where the Whole Earth restaurant is, that little cement thing across the way by the bus. It's very obvious. You can't miss us if you're walking down. It's right across from Cal College and the bookstore.
Can people volunteer and work there?
Yeah, they can. We have, we tell people, like I always tell them, if you want to volunteer to work the table, that's fine. We don't say you have to work, you know, a certain amount of hours or anything like that. Any help, any assistance whatsoever is great in any way, any amount of time.
So. How many workers do you have on that table?
Currently we have about 9 or 10. But we'd like to get some more just to allow a little flexibility. And I'm really hoping to pair people up, too, because I know that it's easier to work a table if you're working with somebody else. And plus, if somebody might be a little bit more knowledgeable in some areas than somebody else. So.
You got a phone number that you can have people call?
If you're interested in working the table, you can talk to either me, and I'm Jenny, or my roommate, Maria. And our phone number is 458-2319.
Okay. We got about 20 minutes left. If there's anyone who'd like to call, the number's 429-4036. Please give us your comments and add to this conversation. This is the place where you come to get your voice aired. We have a caller right now. This is public supported radio at KZSC. So if you enjoy what you're hearing, please call 429-2811 to subscribe. Okay, we're going to get to our caller now. You're on KZSC. Tell us what you're thinking. Hello.
Hi, is this KZSC?
This is KZSC.
Is this the phone number for the radio show that's going on right now?
Exactly.
am I talking on the air right now?
You are on the air right now as we speak.
I'm listening to your show.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. And I wanted to comment on a few things and then ask a couple questions.
Certainly.
A while ago, a woman called in saying she lived on Ocean Street and the homeless really bothered her with the trash and that she was very scared of them, thinking she could get attacked and things like that. And information going on about certain issues. Like one thing he just said was that alcoholism is so much more in effect than cocaine abuse, and that people have this idea that, oh, cocaine is so terrible. And kind of a parallel to that is that that women are more likely to be attacked and in more of a threat by men they know than by strangers. And so I think that this fear of being attacked on the street, whether it's a homeless person or not, is verging on paranoia in some women, and they're getting it a little out of proportion. Even though it is a real fear, if they were more aware of that they were actually in more danger in their own home with a person that they were slightly acquainted with, that that might ease some tension with the situation. My only experience with the homeless is on the mall. I don't really live in an area where I see any of that. And I haven't been particularly harassed, except I have seen some incidences where a person, now I can't assume that they were homeless, although you could look and guess that, a person was yelling very loudly and flailing his arms around and running up and down the street, and it was very frightening, although he wasn't like after anybody. I think that this society we are so easy to place our fear onto people that we don't understand. Like, we fear old people, so we shut them away and we put them in convalescent hospitals. We fear fat people, and there's this whole fat phobia that the whole advertising world has played upon. And I'm guessing that maybe fat people kind of hide themselves away feeling bad about themselves. And I'm thinking that maybe the kind of mental illness doesn't necessarily come about because the people are homeless, but because they are subject to negative feelings or negative comments themselves by people who are walking through the mall who don't like them or think they're gross or are scared by them, or whether it's on the mall or somewhere else in town. And so this whole you guys are lowly, you guys are less than people attitude is being thrown on them, and then that in turn, you hear that enough, and now, you know, you can believe anything if you hear enough bad things about yourself. And it maybe that's where it's coming from, and not just because they don't have, you know, a permanent shelter.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying about that? I mean, is there someone there who could speak on that?
Anyone.
Okay. And my only other question was,
I can speak on that.
I don't really understand where all this got started. Did homeless people come to one of the four of you there, or did they come to some kind of a city government person and say, we need your help, find us ground, or something like that?
Okay, go ahead.
The first, I missed some of what you said at first, but I think a lot of the reason people do go crazy or get into bad situations has to do with the society generally, and the fact that people tend to, they're cut off from each other generally in their social contacts in life. I mean, you walk down the street and, you know, it's like you're alone even though there are hundreds of people there. I mean, it's kind of a weird, frightening situation. Unless you make a real effort to contact other people, you get dismissed. And that's, of course, intensified if you're a homeless person, because then there's the additional fear that people have that you're going to ask them for something, and, you know, then you look kind of grubby and, you know, that sort of thing. In regard to the second question, I began a petition for homeless rights after I attended a meeting of Jane Yokoyama's Human Relations Task Force in May of this last year, when I was hearing that the same kinds of abuses that I'd heard about for years were still going on, namely the harassment of people for sleeping. And these abuses concern people sleeping in their cars. In other words, people were actually in their own vehicles were being awakened by police in the middle of the night and being given tickets. Not being arrested in most cases, but being given tickets. And I felt that this had gone on. This has gone on since the 70s, as far as I knew, and it seemed bizarre this was going on with a progressive city council majority. So I figured the thing to do was to bring it to the attention of the city council majority with a petition and, in essence, put some pressure on them to take some action on the issue. I only learned later that this city council had ducked the issue 3 years before when the campground was proposed. Instead, they went for a $600,000 River Street mini shelter, which has been discussed previously on the air by Ray. And they also, they ducked it again in 1987 in the summer when Paige Smith's committee, a citizens committee on the homeless, arranged for discussions with Santa Barbara, which, as I mentioned before, has changed its sleeping law. They set up a direct phone hook with Santa Barbara, and they had conversations, and the Paige Smith's committee tried to get Marty Wormhout and other city council members to agree that there should be no ticketing except on complaint.
This is in Santa Barbara?
No, this is in Santa Cruz.
Oh, Santa Cruz, okay.
Because in Santa Barbara, they were using a policy which essentially said, we aren't going to ticket you for sleeping, at least in most places we won't ticket you for sleeping. Though there still is a camping law in Santa Barbara, but again, arrests have dropped by 75%. Or I say tickets have dropped by 75%. And in 87, in the summer, the city council declined to advise the police chief here in town, Jack Bassett, to ticket on complaint. So in essence, the great progressive majority, or I should say the slim progressive majority, refused to, in essence, honor the rights of people who are sleeping in their cars, even though they had been presented with clear evidence from Santa Barbara that the situation had not produced a huge influx of people and was not causing a lot of problems.
Okay, so the decrease, you said it decreased by 75%. Was that due to all of these, these actions being taken?
I think it was due to the fact that, one, they changed the law, and two, they're aware that there is an active homeless movement down there that won't stand for a lot of nonsense.
Okay, I'm getting confused. Are you talking about Santa Barbara or here?
Santa Barbara. Here, bus have not been reduced. Bus continue.
Okay, they have not been reduced here, and the law is in Santa Barbara. It's not here.
That is correct. But the point, the reason I mention is because there was an informational hookup that was done between the city council, a committee of the city council in 1987, and
whose city council?
Our city council.
Okay, please make this clear.
I'm sorry. The Santa Cruz City Council in 1987 arranged to talk to the Santa Barbara people. Some of them were city council members down there in Santa Barbara. Others were lawyers in Santa Barbara.
Okay.
And they got some information that, in essence, the policy had not produced a large influx of people in Santa Barbara. The change in the Santa Barbara sleeping law, which was the year before, in 1986. So, but they did not act upon this. That is, they being the Santa Cruz City Council. They did not inform the police chief to ticket only upon complaint, which was what I think Paige Smith's Citizens Committee was seeking up here in Santa Cruz. Instead, they ignored the information that they had gotten, and they continued the current police practice here in Santa Cruz of ticketing people who are sleeping in their vehicles.
Okay, so that's, even though this whole talk show has pretty much gone off on all these different questions and problems regarding the homeless, the main issue here is police harassment. And that you want to eliminate that.
That's the nitty-gritty, and I'm encouraging people to come to the first city council meeting, which will be on Tuesday, to show their support for a change in this policy. I'm hoping that the new city council will look at the matter differently, but it would be nice for the city council to see that there is a broad constituency for changing this current sleeping ban.
Mm-hmm.
And I would encourage people to come, and I would encourage people to get in touch with us through 429-9801, which is a number where people can volunteer help or get information about the street sheet, which is something we put out. Again, the number 429-9801, and we have a table on the Pacific Garden Mall, usually located near Rainbow Records.
Okay, well, can I just get back to my other question?
Sure.
Let me expand on my question. Have you had close contact or continuing contact with homeless people? Have you talked to them? I mean, I'm trying to get an idea of what kind of relationship is going on here between the homeless and between you and any other people who are trying to help them, or at least believe you're trying to help them. I don't mean to like throw doubt onto what you're doing. I think that this is a great cause, and it's really good that people are out there helping.
We'd be happy to have you volunteer.
what exactly have any of these homeless people come to you and said, you know, can you work with us to do this? Are they contributing to this? I don't understand.
Should be said that of the five people here, only one of us is homeless, me, and I'm homeless. I have a vehicle I live in.
Okay.
And I'd love a place to stay if anybody wishes to put me up.
Okay.
But in answer to your question, a delegation of homeless people did not specifically show up at the Human Relations Task Force and say, we want you to change this. There were some homeless individuals who had been harassed. Mm-hmm. A man named Ron O'Donnell had a complaint of harassment. Homeless people that I've spoken to have given us a lot of support.
Uh-huh.
I've been arrested recently, as I mentioned earlier in the air, and released, and homeless people come up to me and they say, keep fighting, it's a good thing you're doing, we're glad you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Contrary-wise, there occasionally, after police have cracked down more, have been people who've become annoyed with me, and they've said, you're encouraging police harassment, they're never going to change this law, why are you doing this?
Mm.
But in the main, it's been the first rather than the second response.
Can I respond by saying that I didn't go to the homeless asking if they could, if I could be of help to them. I'm an attorney, and I've had, over the past 12 years, hundreds of homeless people who were coming to me and asking for assistance on dealing with these things.
Okay.
And so I'm responding primarily as a professional, and then secondarily as a political activist to these situations involving the homeless. Now, I think other attorneys do not get as many calls because most people do not associate attorneys as a stereotype with people who would be particularly responsive to the needs of the very poor. But there are actually a number who would be responsive. I would like to just very briefly indicate four kinds of interests that I think we need to address and I'm using your call now as sort of an opportunity for a wind-up statement here for myself. One category of interests are the really serious and dire physical interests of the homeless themselves. The need for a place to sleep, the need for hygiene such as showers and toileting facilities, etc. That's one set of interests. Another set of interests which likewise needs to be addressed are various problems that come from bona fide police concerns, burglary, harassment, sanitation, obstruction of sidewalks, etc., which is a distinct set of things that can be properly addressed in their own right. A third set of interests that need to be addressed, which are just quite distinct from the others, are the issues of cultural autonomy and integrity. The people who want to be able to sleep outside or sleep in various areas because of their own spiritual relationship to the earth or their own how that fulfills their own sense of self-development. And then finally, and one that typically goes unspoken, but I think happens to be the most controlling interest and the one that is taken heed of most of all, are the issues of cultural bigotry. The idea, and all these stereotypes that we get into, that somehow we are more worthy than other people. And I find particularly illuminating your example of how, for example, a woman can be subjected to abuse by her lover or her husband or be subjected to date rape, and yet what she articulates as her grievance is that unknown weirdo on the sidewalk might attack her.
Exactly.
And that's sad, and it's characteristic of the kinds of evasions of personal responsibility that all of us, men and women, socially privileged and social underdogs alike, tend to go through. We avoid the real problems in our life and look for scapegoats out there to persecute.
And I think it's also a case of misinformation.
Yes.
At the same time.
Okay, thank you for your call, Fona. We have to close it right up here.
Okay.
We're coming on 5 minutes. Thank you. Okay, This is Hearing Voices, and I'm Dave, and I'm talking with homeless activists, and I'm going to ask you each for a... Sorry, we can't take any more phone calls, you on the phone there. if I can just ask you for about a minute or two of a closing statement. Charles Gray, please tell us what you're thinking.
Thank you. I'm mainly concerned with the human right to sleep. It's a biological necessity. It cannot be made illegal. If it's made illegal, it becomes impractical to enforce, and you just create a social problem that is going to cost both in terms of what it of the harm it creates for the people that are homeless, and it's going to cost the taxpayer in the fact that it costs so much. It costs so much for the shelter of putting people in jail, and you're going to be putting more people in jail if you don't have some more positive solutions to this problem.
Okay, thank you for coming on the show, Maria Aldretti.
I'm here with the Student Alliance for the Homeless, and I feel that we need more of an awareness here on campus with the students, and being that we are a large constituents of this county, I do think that we do make a difference more than we can ever realize. And this, I think there's a social factor in this, that why these people are homeless. So we need to go past the person and look at the forces that are making these people homeless. And rather than calling them homeless, we have to realize that they are people.
Okay, Jennifer Kenley.
Okay, again, I'm here with the Student Alliance for the Homeless, and basically I just want everybody to remember that, you know, being homeless is a societal problem, and that, you know, having a sleeping ban like right now is not an answer to the problem, it's only encouraging it. And also, I just hope that everybody, by listening to the show, has a better awareness of the homeless people and is maybe eliminating some of their misconceptions and stereotypes about these people.
Okay, Ray Grunack.
I made my summary statement with regard to the last caller, so I'd like to just put in this minute my plug to yet target another governmental agency, that is the Governing Board of the Santa Cruz Metropolitan Transit District, which provides our bus stations. They have a rule against you doing any bathing or showering, as they call it, in their restrooms. That means you cannot shave, you cannot wash under your armpits, you cannot engage in elementary hygiene. That would be very simple to change that rule, and they should do so. Thank you.
Okay, Robert North.
Yes, I want to put in a plug, too. There's a man named Anders Kaur who's currently in jail, and if you read City on a Hill Press this week, you can get more information on it. That's on page 18. I encourage folks who want to free Anders Kaur, who's essentially in jail on sleep crime, has been there for 2 weeks and faces 6 months in jail, to contact the Free Anders Kaur Committee, Jacqueline there, at 423-6268. That's 423-6268. And I also encourage everybody to show up at the upcoming city council meetings. Tuesday at 7:30, there'll be a meeting that's coming up. Show your opinion, show your support, and do end the sleeping ban as soon as possible.
Thank you.
Okay, could we get those phone numbers from you yet again? Jenny, the number for the campus organization?
Okay, actually that was our home phone number, but if you want to just find us, we're just out at the table every day. So.
Okay, and the phone number for anyone who'd like to volunteer?
Again, that's 458-2319.
458-2319, if you'd like to volunteer for the on-campus organization for the homeless. And Ray? Or Robert?
For downtown, if you want to volunteer either for legal help to write letters to the editor, which you can do independently without calling, circulate petitions, possibly volunteer to sleep in at the upcoming sleep-ins, give us a call at 429-9801, 429-9801, or get down to the homeless table, which, as I said, is right across from the Cooper House, usually, and we can use all the volunteers that we can get.
Okay, I'd like to thank my guests. Again, this has been Hearing Voices on KZSC Santa Cruz, and this is listener-sponsored radio. If you enjoyed the conversation that went on here, and if it made you think, that's what it's here for, please support us. You can dial right now, 429-2811, with any contribution that will make you feel happy. Tune in next week and at noon, and Allison Bowman, my compatriot, will be hosting the show. And she will have something very interesting for you. I'm not quite sure what it is. And stay tuned for Down by Law. This is KZSC Santa Cruz.